Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is in the midst. We know that God and the Lord Jesus Christ are omnipresent, which means anywhere and everywhere in this whole universe is in the presence of God all the time and all at the same time. Because God transcends time. He created time. He is not bound by time. He knows all things. And therefore, since God is omnipresent, what is the significance of this title that Jesus is in the midst? What is the significance of Jesus telling us that He is in the midst? There must be a very good reason for God to highlight this very important reality in our lives. And so the first thing we note is the location where Jesus Christ focused on in this truth, in this revelation. And I, that is John, the apostle, turned to see, that is, to make an observation voluntarily, to look, to see the voice that spoke with him. And so, by hearing some voice, he turned and then he looked. And as he turned and he looked, he saw seven golden candlesticks. And so the location where Jesus will reveal that he would be in the midst of it, as you can see from verse 13a, is the seven golden candlesticks. And then later on in verse 16, we are told that there will be seven stars held in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for verse 20 of this chapter, because these two items are identified for us by the Lord Himself, which will be very helpful, of course. And so the verse 20's second part says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And these seven churches are mentioned in verse 11 for us: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And the situation, the spiritual state and condition of these seven churches will be elaborated in the next two chapters, chapters 2 and 3. And before the Lord will reveal to us the spiritual condition of these seven churches, he wanted John the Apostle and all of us to understand that Jesus Christ is in the midst of these seven churches, which means all churches. Jesus Christ is in the midst. Now, when Jesus is in the midst, and Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth, the God who knows all things, to those who are righteous and holy, it is an honor, it is an encouragement, it is a privilege. To those who are sinful, wicked, hypocritical, it is something for us to beware of. Because we know that we can pretend and hide who we really are from one another. But Jesus wants us to know that I want you to know that when you come to church, I am in the midst. Whether you are a believer or unbeliever, I am in the midst. I'm in the midst of the assembly and gathering of God's children, which is what the church means. People who have been called out of the world, people who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, people who have decided to identify themselves with Jesus Christ by water baptism. And Jesus says, I am in the midst of this group of people that have been called out, and they assemble every Lord's Day once a week according to my commandment to praise, to worship, to serve, to fellowship, and to encourage one another as they witness for me on this earth. I want them to know that I am in the midst of their assembly and their gathering. That is why Jesus Christ highlighted this phrase in the midst. For our blessing and encouragement, if we are living in holiness. Before our warning, to stop our pretense and our hypocrisy, if we are not truly born again. Watch how he described us. He could have described it in so many ways, as you can see from the many New Testament epistles. But here he described us as golden candlesticks. Gold means precious. God's church has always been very precious to him. You and I know the precious nature of something by the price you pay. What was the price that God had to pay to make us into his church? The priceless, precious blood of the Lord Jesus himself, his only begotten Son. That is why he described us as golden. So do not see yourself in any other way but with the eyes and the perspective of Christ and what he did for you at Calvary. And that must be your confidence, not in self, but in Christ. And if you do not see yourself in this manner by using any carnal or earthbound ways to be confident, your testimony will be carnal, guaranteed. Your confidence must not be based upon money, how much money you have, or whether you are one of the rich people that is on Forbes' list of billionaires or multi-millionaires. And because your name keeps on appearing every year in that list, you wake up full of confidence because of your wealth, or maybe not even in that list, but in any form of thinking that is based upon some monetary reasons, or perhaps your education. You are the most educated of all in your family. In the church, you have strings of degrees compared to others. And so when you speak or talk to people, you speak with an air of confidence because of your very, very high education. For the child of God, that is not only foolishness, that's a transgression. Nothing of this earth must give us the kind of confidence when we look at ourselves other than how God wants us to look at ourselves. And he wants us to look at ourselves as golden. Can you imagine how wonderful that is? Golden not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done in your life, in saving you and in making you part of God's family, part of his invisible church. And that is why God says, I sent my only begotten Son to let all of my children on earth know, generation after generation, that Jesus Christ is in their midst. When they gather together for service, for worship, every Lord's Day, I'm in their midst. And they need to know that. I am with them. As an individual, we know that Christ lives in us, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is also known as the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ. But as an assembly and a gathering, we sometimes forget. And that is why when we have this kind of misunderstanding and differences, instead of reconciliation, instead of trying to forgive one another and help one another, we tear each other apart. We refuse to forgive. We allow the evil one to have the last word in our lives and our conduct. And that breaks the heart of God and our Savior, because he sees us as golden. Not only that, but as a candlestick, that means as a light. A light to a world that is in darkness. A light like the moon, where we reflect the light of the sun. In our case, it's S-O-N. We do not have our own light. That means we do not have our own ideas. We do not have our own way of doing things. We have to reflect the way that Christ would do things. Christ would think. Christ would be motivated. These must now become our way of thinking, our way of motivation, and our way of action and decision making. The Word of God. That's the only way where we can be light. In other words, it must be by your visible, physical testimony That's the only way that they can see the light, isn't it? They can see what's in your mind. They can see what is in your heart. They can only see what is outward. That is our restraint, our limitation. Man can only see the outward, and therefore your dressing, your conduct, your behavior, places you go to, places you do not go to, things you should do, things you should not do, all these things must be ordered by Holy Scriptures. And sometimes when we stumble and fall, we repent and ask God for forgiveness from our heart, because we are a golden lampstand. And that's how God wants us before He revealed to us the content of these seven churches, how He was in their midst, and how He evaluated each and every one of them, and their spiritual state and condition at the point when Christ was in their midst to evaluate them, was revealed to us in these two chapters for our blessing and encouragement, and at the same time, our warning. And so the location of this phrase, Christ in the midst, is the church. Is your life a light that shines forth the Savior? When it is lived according to Holy Scriptures, automatically, by default, it will happen. It will not have immediate, instantaneous impact. It takes time, because the darkness of the people around us is very deep. Can you imagine a person who has been living in sin for 40 years? The darkness that is in his heart is 40 years old. Sure, the younger they are, the easier it is for them to see Christ, because the darkness was only one that they were born with, original sin. That is why it is so important for us as parents to start young in bearing a holy witness to our children before the darkness envelops them. That's how God wants us to look at ourselves before Jesus Christ reveals more of Himself to us, of who He really is in relation to the church to us. Is that how you see yourself, dearly beloved? There is no better way to see yourself than as the golden lampstand. And with this perspective, you will never forget that every day when you wake up, you are to be a lampstand for the Lord, the light that will shine only the image of your Savior, God's only begotten Son, and nobody else. When you do your own thing according to your own ambition in the name of Christ, can you imagine the devastation? Can you imagine the parallel of the golden calf that we are now committing, that's horrible sin? In the name of Christ, we fulfill our own ambition. They look at our lives, they see Christ, because we call ourselves Christians. But what they see is not the Christ that is according to Holy Scriptures, because we are here to do our own ambition, to fulfill our own heart's desire, not Christ's work, Christ's calling, Christ's desire, our own. And therefore, what Christ will they interpret and see? A false Christ. That's why it is so important for us to look at ourselves as a golden lampstand. Would you do that? So that whenever you stumble and fall, you repent. And whenever you serve, you do so with joy, with happiness, with goodness and kindness and perseverance, as unprofitable servants seeking only to promote our Savior. That in leadership, the only one that must be exalted and promoted is none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for He must increase and we decrease. That's what it means when we remember that we are a golden lampstand in the eyes of God. And it must be in our eyes too. So that your confidence is not based upon what you have or do not have on earth. And even if the world takes away everything that you have on earth, they can't touch, they can never touch this truth of how God sees you as His golden lampstand, a witness. When you come together, protect this church. This is not an assembly of Singaporeans. This is not an assembly of people because of some common earthly requirement. We are here for one purpose, and that is for Jesus' sake, in obedience to His commandment. That must be what people see and experience when they come to Truth BP Church. Second, the description of Jesus in the midst. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, the Apostle John saw someone like the Son of Man, and so it is his humanity that is emphasized. And with reference to Christ's humanity, Christ has three offices: King, Priest, and Prophet. And when you look at the rest of the verses of this passage, it is not about his office as a prophet, which we know he is, because it's a description of him, what he looked like. So he could be either king or great high priest. And then when you look further, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and this is a long robe. Now we know that both the king and the priest, both of them wore long robes. The king will have a crown. The high priests in the book of Exodus and Leviticus also have a crown, more of a mitre, holiness unto the Lord. A different kind, not a crown, but they wore something on their head to identify themselves, holiness unto the Lord. And when you look at the rest of the description, you realize that it is more an emphasis on his priesthood than his king, his monarchy, that is emphasized. So when Apostle Paul saw the Son of Man, it would be the Son of Man as our great high priest. And therefore, it is the ministry of the great high priest that is in the midst of God's people, of God's church, that we are to take note of. The great high priest, the only one who is our mediator that permits us to worship the Lord and be accepted by God, the only one who can be our mediator so that our prayers will be heard and accepted by God, that is the ministry of the great high priest, to stand between us and God, and that's the Lord Jesus himself. Your priesthood and my priesthood, they are all of the order of Jesus Christ, who is the priest of the order of Melchizedek. We are not priests of the order of Aaron. We all would not qualify, because we are not born of the tribe of Levi. But the order of Christ's priesthood is based upon being born again according to Christ's sacrifice as our Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And therefore, this description of Jesus in the midst as the Son of Man, his humanity, which office? Priesthood, clothed with a garment to the foot, and that describe his spiritual responsibilities in our midst, girt about the peps, that is his chest, with a golden girdle, that is an emphasis of his office. Golden girdle. That's how a priest would also dress. In other words, his spiritual ministry that has been entrusted to us must be, from God's perspective and also our perspective, precious. Do you see your life and your testimony for Christ as precious? You and I are not beggars. Sure, there are times when we beg people, when we share the gospel, to come and believe in Christ. But it's not because the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is worthless, but because of the precious nature of it. Your ministry must be precious to you, because everything that you do and touch now has a spiritual dimension that never existed before your salvation. Do you realize that? Do not measure your attitude and your devotion to service based upon the nature of the service. Sometimes because of its mundane nature, because it is so repetitive, we forget who we are, golden candlestick. We forget how precious our ministry is as spiritual priests on this earth. That's why the Bible says the world is not worthy of us. Going out to them as children of God, as God's golden lampstand, and bringing them the gospel, and then in return they persecute Christians. They spat on Christians. They turn their backs on Christians. But the sad tragedy is not so much how they treat us. It's how we see ourselves and how our sad and poor attitude toward everything that we do for Christ. Sometimes we tend to give our crumbs rather than the best time, best period of our lives to the Lord. There are some individuals where the Lord saved them at a late age. They can do nothing about that. Therefore, their early years, in their 20s, 30s and 40s, when their body is full of strength, zeal and energy, had been devoted and committed to carnality, because they were not born again until later. There's nothing they can do to turn time back. All they can do is thank God for the salvation, and then for the rest of their lives, in their evening years, they give the best to the Lord. But for many of us, many of you, you came to know Christ at a very young age. Are you going to spend your youthful zeal and energy in the pursuit of youthful lusts? Or are you going to spend your youthful zeal and energy for the work of God and for the promotion of God's kingdom, and be a holy witness for Him? Because your ministry is golden, precious to God. That's why He put on His chest a golden girdle to let us know, to let all of us know and understand that everything you touch as a spiritual child of God has a spiritual value and dimension. Do not see what you do at home, mothers, when you cook, when you iron, when you wash, when you sweep the floor, vacuum the floor, mop the floor. All these are mundane, repetitive work that helpers from other countries are employed to do them. You, who do not have any helper, do these activities as a child of God. They are golden, they are precious in the eyes of God. So do not do it grudgingly, do not do it seeking the praises of your family. Even if they do not come, you continue to do your best and give your best, because you are doing it unto the Lord, because you can. You know that, right? So do not see only the work that you do in the church as spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. The difference is, the things that you do in church that are spiritual, it's for the spiritual blessing of God's children, to provoke them unto love and to good works. But what you do at home is spiritual. What you do in school is spiritual. What you do at work, in the world out there, is spiritual. And in the work situation, in the school situation, it is spiritual, because by your holy spiritual testimony, you are pointing sinners to the Savior. You are bringing sinners who couldn't even see the kingdom of God, even though the kingdom of God is so large, they are so far that they could not even see it. Because of your witness and testimony, they can now see the kingdom of God. The moment you share the gospel, you brought them to the entrance of the kingdom of God. Can you imagine how golden your life is? How precious your testimony is to this world that is dying in sin? And that's how you must look at yourself and your service and your witness. And sometimes we don't, and sometimes we forget. And because we don't and we forget, we call ourselves Christians. Our testimony is humdrum. Our testimony is half-hearted. We give God our crumbs. When we are exhausted and tired, then we open the Bible and read it. When we should read the Bible when we are most alert. Full attention. Not half-hearted in service, not half-hearted in our prayer, nothing half-hearted at all. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we are witnessing for and we are worshipping. Golden. As spiritual people in a dark, dark, dead world. That's why your life, your testimony, golden, golden lampstand, golden witness and service. Precious. That's how you must see it. And the Lord, thank God, did not stop there. His head and his hair were like white, were white like snow, like wool, I beg your pardon. White is the color of purity, is the color of holiness, is the color of wisdom, is the color of goodness. Right? That's the color of white. And because he looked old, hair white, that's why wisdom. White, pure, good. Definitely holy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst. So if you want the Lord to be pleased, to be happy when he is in the midst of Truth BP Church, then be like him. Be white in your testimony. How to be white? The only way is every ministry in the church must be conducted, managed, looked after, and started and continued according to Holy Scriptures. That's the only way. So look at all the ministries that you have in the church. Evaluate each and every one of them. That's the responsibility and duty of every session member who is put in charge of your respective portfolios. You've got to ensure that these ministries are watched and looked after and managed according to Holy Scriptures, where Jesus Christ is in the midst and is described as white as wool, where it is holy, good, pure, to do that according to Holy Scriptures, and you will guarantee to be white, to be like him. Simple, isn't it? You and I do not have to manufacture and invent our own way of doing things when we start a ministry. Every ministry has a heartbeat. And every leader must know the heartbeat of the ministry. What's the heartbeat of the music ministry? What's the heartbeat of the choir ministry? What's the heartbeat of your fellowships, children fellowship, young adult fellowship, youth fellowship, agape love ministry, your team Barnabas, all these, your prayer meeting included, there is a heartbeat. And that heartbeat is what is the biblical perspective of these ministries. We have to know all the heartbeats of this ministry, especially for the pastor who is ex officio of all ministry, which means any ministry that is in trouble, he must step in and intervene and fix it before it gets worse. And to do that, he must know the heartbeat of every ministry. So when there are turmoil or problems within the choir, he must step in. But if he doesn't know the heartbeat of the ministry of the choir, and if he only knows it based upon the choir that is of the world, can you imagine the danger and the problem that he would create? He's going to try to solve the problem within the church choir like the world, where the emphasis is on sing perfectly according to the timing. All those who sing four parts, you must harmonize perfectly. And so he will try his best, and he will urge and he will pressure the conductor to practice and practice until they sound perfect. All the four parts all blend into one. Is that the heartbeat of the ministry that is for performance? That's out there in the world. People pay money to listen to great choirs to sing in harmony perfectly. Is that a heartbeat? Of course not. Know the heartbeat of the ministry. Same for those who play the organ and the pianist and the piano. Heartbeat. The PA crew. What's the heartbeat? All these you need to know. It's in the scriptures. Either direct teaching or by application. That's why the Lord appears white. White hair like wool. Wise, holy, good. And that's what the church must be too, for him to be in our midst and be pleased. Eyes were as a flame of fire. That means discernment. Do not be only good outwardly. Do not be punctual outwardly. Everything must be inwardly and outwardly. That means your mind, your motive, your conduct must be one and the same. Righteous. No hidden agenda. Love of God constrain you. You come to church, you serve. Everything you do, love of God. Your mind, the mind of Christ. You keep studying the Bible because now you can understand the Bible correctly with a heart of obedience. So you're going to keep studying the Bible so that whatever you do, whatever you think, it's according to Holy Scriptures. And then of course, your action and your words must be based upon wisdom, discernment. Discernment is a very, very rare virtue in these last days. When you go out there in the world, to have discernment means the moment you see something that is wrong, you know that it is wrong, even though the people around you may not. But because you have discernment, you will be able to see and you will be able to know. And therefore, you know how to respond and react and at times even to avoid. Discernment. Very much needed to protect our holy witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not have discernment, we will be led by the evil one. Do not have light ears. Have discernment. Discernment means you know people. You know the heart of people. You know how to react and respond to what people say and what people tell you to do. Discernment. There must be certain prerequisites in your own heart, in your own life, to protect yourself. That you must know how to conduct and behave yourself. What is your weakness? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Of these three, which one is the deadliest of the three in your heart? Pride? Then have discernment how to protect yourself from yourself. Lust of the flesh, not only sexual, but everything that is of the flesh. Food, computer games, addictions. Lust of the flesh can make us addicted, which can cause us to come under the power of these carnal activities. Discernment. Know yourself. Young people, you play computer games into the wee hours of the morning. Where even in public transport, you take out your phone and you start playing, you continue to play and keep playing. Have discernment. Take a step back. Be honest with yourself. Evaluate. Am I addicted to it? If you are, take concrete steps. Cut it off. See whether you can tolerate for even half a day without turning on that game and play it. Can you do that? Discernment. Because your testimony, your witness, your service, they're all being compromised. Because you have come under the power of something that the devil has designed, and you are a victim without realizing it. We need discernment to avoid people who are deadly and dangerous, to know who you can or cannot hang around with. All these things you need discernment. And sometimes for children, parents, you've got to guide them and help them. In our upbringing of our children, my wife and I agreed and we decided that our children would never be permitted to enter into the cinema out there until they are 18 years old, so they will be old enough to discern. So does that mean that they cannot watch any movie? Well, movie is movie. So we have to make sure that whatever movie they want to watch, it is in the house. In those days they have the CD. So we will sit there and watch with them. To let them know, to teach them, to guide them, to educate them. What to avoid and what not to avoid. All these things we try to teach our children. They cannot have any handphone, even though all their classmates have handphones, until they complete primary school. Because in secondary school, they have all these extracurricular activities, now CCA, where their dismissal time is changing all the time, kept changing. So we have no choice. But they have a phone, but the phone has also got to be under control. Discernment. Help our children. Teach them discernment. Send them to a Christian primary school They come back, they sing some of these songs that are very contemporary. So they sing it in the car. So we tell them, you cannot sing this. Why? Teach them. Explain to them why these are not to be sung. Teach them, guide them when they are young, so that when they grow up, they will have the discernment that they need. And for adults, have your own discernment by the study of God's Word. That's the key. When you study God's Word, the mind of Christ will be filled with the knowledge of Christ. And that will be your foundation and your frame of reference when you evaluate circumstances and people in life. You'll be so wise that people will come to you for counsel. Because they know that your counsel will be based upon God's Word. You know how to tell them what to do and what not to do. And you will have biblical reasons and explanation to teach them why. Discernment. That's why the Bible warns us that Jesus Christ's eyes will as a flame of fire penetrate into the very soul of our lives. So do not pretend. Do not only look good on the outside. Look good on the outside because you are good on the inside. One and the same. Righteous within, righteous without. That's why the Lord described Himself in this manner. Eyes were as a flame of fire. And then His feet like as fine brass. That means judgment. He will judge. And you and I know that God is no respecter of faces in judgment. More is given, more is expected, not the other way round. Ask Moses. How many transgressions did Moses commit against God when God barred him from entering the promised land? One. You know that, right? How many transgressions did the people of Israel complain, murmur before God finally banned them from entering the promised land? Can't even count them. The last and final transgression, God brought them to the edge of the promised land, sent in 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, we cannot go in. God sent Moses, Joshua and Caleb, these two young men, they also went in with the other 10, to try to change their mind and told them, we can go in, God will help us. But the 10 spies says, we are like grasshoppers, you know, these are giants, we cannot. We go in, our women, our children, all will perish. Then Moses, Joshua and Caleb tried to convince them otherwise. They didn't listen the first time. Tried to convince them again. They did not listen the second time. At the moment they did not listen the second time, they wanted to take the side of the 10 faithless spies. God stepped in and God intervened and said, all of you will now perish in the wilderness. You took 40 days to survey the land. You're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and each and every one of you will now perish. Over 500,000 of them will now die in the wilderness, 20 years and above, because of their faithlessness. They were ordinary Israelites, but for Moses, God's servant, whom the people regarded as God, who was given privileges after privileges to speak to God face to face and not die, one sin, you cannot enter the promised land. Speak to the rock, he smote it twice. That's it. Very serious. Not trivial. Fine brass. He will judge. And he will judge without any respect of faces in judgment. So if you think that because you have given your life to serve the Lord full time, you have done so much in this and so much in that, what? Lower standard of holiness or the higher standard of holiness? You know the answer. So the more mature you are, the more you must protect yourself. Because the more serious will be your transgression, the swifter, the more severe will be the judgment of God. Because more has been given to you, more is expected of you. God's judgment is in the midst. He described Himself. That means the manner in which He's going to relate to the churches, to you and to me, to all of us. This is the way that Jesus will do it. If you are living in holiness and righteousness, you have discernment, it is an encouragement. It is a joy. It is gratitude that God will be with us. But if you are in sin, if you are in pretense, if you are in hypocrisy, The only way to fix it is sincere, genuine repentance. Because the Lord is in the midst, and He knows. Then why did He not judge me and condemn me and kill me? Mercy! God could have struck any one of us dead at any time. He demonstrated that when He struck Ananias and Sapphira, when the church was first started, was born. They lied to the Holy Spirit when they brought an offering that was a portion of what they had sold. They gave the impression that it was everything, and for that sin, they dropped dead straight away. It is God's warning that when we sin in the presence of God, and in the church in particular, be very careful. God could have struck us dead like Ananias and Sapphira any time. And all of us confess honestly before God that we would have died a million times over, isn't it? And yet we are still breathing and alive. It's God's mercy. Not because God has turned a blind eye to our transgression. His mercy. Therefore repent. Don't pretend anymore. Don't hide anymore. Be genuine and be sincere. Because the Lord is in the midst. And as if they burned in a furnace, and then His voice as the sound of many waters, which means it is one of truth, and it is one that is authoritative. Many waters means it is very deep, it is very roaring, it is very loud, it is authoritative, and it is truthful. In other words, He will rebuke. He will speak, and He will warn. He will encourage. This is how the Lord described Himself in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, to let us know how He is going to relate to us in the church as our great high priest, as our only mediator between God and man. If you are holy, you're living a life that is right before God, nothing to worry about, you have everything to be grateful, to be thankful for this wonderful, amazing encouragement that the Lord is right in the presence, in the midst of all of His people right now. But if you are in sin, you better cringe and you better shrivel and you better shrink where you are seated right now. Because the Lord is staring at you. The Lord is watching and watching, waiting for you to be sincere and repent and stop pretending and come to the Lord, either in salvation grace or come to the Lord in His grace as a child of God, returning to the Father. But either way, return to Him, go to Him, never leave Him. He's in our midst. And finally, the judgment, the outcome. For He had in His right hand, right? So up to verse 15 is describing the person. Up to verse 16 is describes something that is not the person, but what He's holding. In His right hand, seven stars. And the identity of the seven stars in verse 20b would be the angels of the seven churches. Now, the angels of the seven churches, as we study chapters 2 and 3, where each and every of these seven churches will begin with the angel, the angel, the angel. Chapter 2, verse 1. The angel of the church of Ephesus. Second church, verse 8. Chapter 2. The angel of the church in Smyrna, and so on. So, do we really have an angel watching over the church? You and I know that a church are the people, the golden lampstand. Angels are never put in charge of us. Who have been put in charge of God's children? God's children. So the angel here, that is the seven stars, would not be the angel, that is the angelic heavenly beings. This would be the pastors and the elders. How do we know that? To confirm it, look at chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now this was written to the angel of the church in Smyrna. If it is an angel, the heavenly angelic beings, verse 10 makes no sense at all. How can the devil cast good angels into prison? How can the good angels be asked to be faithful unto death? They don't die. They are spirit beings. That's why these angels, the seven stars, refer to the leaders of the church, the pastors and the elders in particular. And so the Lord says, I hold them in my right hand. In other words, I hold the leaders of churches directly responsible for caring, watching, and nurturing my golden lampstand, my church. And I'm in the midst. And that is why, session members, you better have the fear of God in your heart and not sin against the Lord and God's people. Whenever you think of the people in Truth BP Church, do not see them as faces or numbers or digits on your church member list. They are sons and daughters of the Most High God, redeemed not with gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, I've entrusted to you the angel of the church, the elders, the pastors, the deacons, to nurture them, protect them, watch over them, encourage them when they are down, to help them finish the race that I've set for each and every one of them, victorious in Christ. Would you do that? Give your best, give your time, your energy, your resources to help God's children grow. And grow. And grow. At the end of it, God will hold each and every one of you leaders accountable for how you have watched over God's children as they live for Christ on this earth until the Lord called them home. That is why the Lord wants us to know and understand He had in His right hand the seven stars, the angels of the church, the leaders. You are finally, ultimately responsible. Sure, each and every one of them, they're responsible. But you are to provide for them a church, a spiritual environment where all the ministries are according to Holy Scriptures, where there will be as many Bible studies as possible to teach them the Word of God correctly. And now leave it to them, each and every one of them, to take advantage of which ministries they want to attend and be blessed according to the schedule, according to their own life situation. But the leaders must provide this spiritual environment, just as King David provided for the millions of Israelites, and Israel that was spiritual because of the decrees, because of what he has done and who he was. And now it's up to each and every individual Israelite to take advantage of the spiritual well-being that David had prepared for them as a nation. In our context, it's much, much, much smaller. It's just a tiny church. In the case of King David, it's millions of people in the Promised Land. In our context, it is just within the umbrella of Truth BP Church that whenever they come to this church, whenever they attend any ministries, Christ must be the focus, the Word of God must be faithfully and accurately taught, and all those who look after the ministry in the committee must be God-fearing, and they must only plan spiritual program for the spiritual well-being of God's children year after year after year. And so 2025 is round the corner. What is the sub-theme for your ministry? What are the topics that they are supposed to listen to? You plan. Get the right speaker that will make sure to deliver the right preaching material and the understanding of God's Word. All these are your responsibilities. And ultimate, the session in your context before you have your board of elders. If you have the board of elders, they will be the final one. And God says, I have all of them in my hand. And that means you answer to him one day. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. He will use his word. And that's what we must use. The word of God must be our focus. And his appearance, countenance, his face was as the sun shining in his strength. Bright, the kind that Moses experienced when he went up to Mount Sinai, spent 40 days and 40 nights communing with God. And then when he came down with the two tablets of stones, the Ten Commandments written on them, his face was shining. The people could not look at his face. They told him, please cover your face. The glory of God has left its residue on you, and it is too bright for us to look at your face. Please cover it as you reveal to us what God said to you up on Mount Sinai. That is the reason why God wants us to know that Jesus Christ is in our midst. You are precious. You have a duty and responsibility to shine brightly for the Lord. And that's why verse 16 concluded with the Lord Jesus Christ shining like the sun, bright light. And that's what you are to a world that is in darkness. That is how important Truth BP Church is. That is why the devil will try his best to undermine or to destroy any and every kind of church like Truth BP Church that is sound, that is biblical, where sinners may come and find salvation. The devil hates that. Where children of God may come and find it a home where they can grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil hates that even more. But what about you who are part of the church? Are you indifferent to this? Or are you thankful? Thankful enough to do your part and do your utmost to protect it? Or not? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst. Are you afraid? Or are you encouraged? Those who are in holiness, encouragement. Those who are in sin, be afraid. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us Gentiles, saved by Your grace, the honor and the privilege to be the light to a world that is in darkness, a privilege that once upon a time belonged to the nation of Israel in Old Testament times. But because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou hast entrusted this privilege to us Gentiles as a church witness, not as a national witness. Help us to realize, O Lord, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in our midst. May this life and testimony that we live truly be one that will shine brightly for our Savior, so that all who come and visit Truth BP Church may experience Thy joy and Thy great blessings, to know that in Christ Jesus they can come to this church. For sinners, salvation grace will be theirs to experience. For believers, it's a home away from home, where they have like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ that can encourage them and provoke them unto love and to good works, where the word of God is faithfully taught and preached, where they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve and protect, O Lord, Truth BP Church against the wiles and the devils and the attacks of the evil one. May this church remain faithful and true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the days of her existence, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory. We commit the leaders of this church unto your loving hand. Place the fear of God in their hearts. Fill them with thy Holy Spirit. Help them, O Lord, to seek to exalt only our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he alone must be highly exalted and magnified, so that the unity and harmony in the leadership may remain and prevail and continue. We pray, O Lord, for the families of the session members as well, that you will protect and defend all of them, so that together they will be united in service and joy, and this church, all who come, may continue to be blessed. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.